evening, everyone. Welcome to the Divided Kingdom. I'm Lou Carroll, your host. And here it is. For certain states in the Union, today is Election Day. I'm pre-recording this on Tuesday, November 4th. Most of you will hear it on Thursday or Saturday. But at this moment, we don't know the outcome of the election. Polls won't close for a few more hours. By the time you hear this, you'll know whether Mr. Mamdani has won in New York City and certain other races. I think New Jersey, Virginia, a few states have elections today. Maryland, where I live, does not. So I'm going to lead off tonight's program with an article that appeared in the New York Post, November 3rd, 2025. That would have been, I believe, Monday, yesterday, if I am pre-recording this. That says a million New Yorkers ready to flee New York City if Mamdani becomes mayor, possibly igniting the largest exodus in history. That's according to a poll. This appeared in the New York Post, written by Richard Polina, as I said, November 3rd, 2025. And the subtitle says if Mamdani, that's a tongue twister, his name, if it's like it appears to be, it's Mamdani. A Mamdani victory won't revive New York. It'll empty it. Hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers are prepared to bolt from the Big Apple if socialist candidate Zoran Mamdani wins Tuesday's mayoral race, potentially setting the stage for the largest population flight in U.S. history, an alarming new poll warned early Monday. And I'll just interject, this is Lou speaking, that a lot of people are kind of worried about this socialist guy who apparently wants to, from what I understand, wants to get rid of the police and jails, free all the prisoners. I don't know how he's going to do that. I don't know if he really seriously means to do it with all of them or just some of the less violent ones. Well, if he wins, we'll find out. And he has big ideas about having state or city-sponsored grocery stores, all kinds of things that are definitely socialist. In fact, I think President Trump has called him communist. But going on with this article now, around 765,000 people of the 8.4 million residents who call New York City home are preparing to leave, with about 9% of New Yorkers sharing that they would definitely leave the city if Mamdani is elected the 111th mayor, the Daily Mail reported, citing a survey conducted by JL and Partners. If those residents were to leave, it would be equal to the population of Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, or Seattle fleeing the city. Another 25% of New Yorkers, about 2.12 million, said they would, quote, consider, unquote, packing up and leaving. Among high earners, 7% of those making over $250,000 a year said they would definitely flee. Polls results highlighted widespread unease about the 34-year-old assemblyman taking over City Hall, warning that a mass departure could have severe economic consequences nationwide. And here we have a quote from pollster James Johnson. He says, if anywhere near that number actually left, the economic impact would be seismic. Older New Yorkers, Staten Islanders, and white voters are the most likely to say they would pack up and go. And then he added, when asked to sum up what Mamdani's New York would look like, residents or respondents called it a, quote, disaster, unquote, hell, and a couple of descriptions I cannot repeat on the radio. You can guess what they might be. And that ends the quote. Men were more likely than women to say that they'd leave. 12% of men, 7% of women say they're sure to move, with roughly a quarter of each group considering it. And voters ages 50 to 64 showed the strongest desire to flee. with 12% certain and 33% weighing a move, according to the poll. By race, 13% of white New Yorkers and 11% of Asian residents said they would definitely leave. Staten Island voters led the stampede, 21% saying they'd go, and another 54% considering it. In Manhattan, 6% say they'd flee, and 20% are unsure. In Brooklyn, it's 8% and 18% respectively. The Carolinas, Florida, and Tennessee have emerged as top escape destinations, thanks to lower income taxes and property taxes. And again, I'll just interject here. As a guy who has to pay taxes, like most of you that are listening, the question that arises, of course, and this has been commented upon by the news media over and over again, where are you going to get the money to do all these programs that Mam Dhani wants to put into effect? You know, money doesn't grow on trees, as the old saying goes. Somebody's going to have to pay for it. And if you drive away some of the richest by overtaxing them, then it's going to be the middle class that's going to pay. I forget the percentage. I don't think it says it here. But a very large percent is paid by the richest residents in New York. If you get them to leave, then all that burden is going to trickle on down to the middle class, the tax burden. Well, we will see what happens. There's some more statistics, but that's a little bit on the boring side. So let me jump down now. Mam Dhani held a 6.6-point lead, according to the polls, over former Governor Andrew Cuomo with 72 hours left before the election, his narrowest margin since July. And a new Atlas Intel poll released Saturday shows Mam Dhani with 40.6%, followed by Cuomo, 34%, and Republican Chris Lewa, 24.1%. However, the latest Real Clear Politics average still puts Mam Dhani comfortably ahead by 14.5 points, keeping him firmly on track to become New York City's next mayor. Well, as I say, by the time you hear this, you'll know. It sure looks to me like the socialist guy is going to be the winner, but you never know until all the votes are counted. So we shall see. Now, that again, just to give you the source, was the New York Post on Monday, November 3rd, 2025. And the short form of the title was "A Million New Yorkers Ready to Flee If Mam Dhani Becomes Mayor." All right, now we're going to switch topics to Erica Kirk. From the Western Journal, Erica Kirk opposes Tyler Robinson's pretrial motion. "We deserve," this is her quote, "we deserve to have cameras in there." This is by Jack Davis, November 3rd, 2025. Charlie Kirk's widow is calling for cameras to be allowed into court as the trial of her husband's alleged assassin moves forward. During a hearing last week, the defense attorneys for Tyler Robinson called for cameras to be banned when Robinson has his first in-prison hearing on January 16th, saying his right to a fair trial could be harmed, according to the Utah News Dispatch. But Erica Kirk wants the world to see what takes place in the courtroom, according to Fox News. And this is her quote, "Let everyone see what true evil is," she said in a recent interview. "This is something that could impact generations to come," unquote. She noted that the agony of her husband's death was plastered over the internet for all to see. She said, "There were cameras all over my husband when he was murdered," she said. And she went on to say, "There have been cameras all over my friends and family in mourning. There have been cameras all over me, analyzing my every move, analyzing my every smile, my every tear. We deserve to have cameras in there," she said. And she went on to say, "Why not be transparent? There's nothing to hide. I know there's not, that is not anything to hide, because I've seen what the case is built on, unquote. The murder charges against Robinson make him eligible for the death penalty if he's convicted of Charlie Kirk's September 10th murder. Utah Judge Tony Graff ruled last week that Robinson can wear civilian clothes in court, but he must remain shackled, according to KSTU, which I assume is a TV station. And Graff, that is the judge, Graff said, the case has attracted extraordinary public and media attention. Images of Mr. Robinson in jail clothing are likely to circulate widely and influence prospective jurors. And those are the words of the judge, Tony Graff. For the hearing, the media cannot show Robinson's shackles in any images, nor can it show the shackled suspect walking in or out of court. Graff has not yet ruled about camera access. Robinson's defense attorney said, quote, the court should limit media coverage or video and photographic coverage at the least, so the defendant's appearance is no longer the subject of interest, and he has some chance of securing a fair and impartial jury, unquote. First Amendment attorney Jeff Hunt said that because Utah law defaults to allowing cameras, that is, unless there's a, let me read on. So Jeff Hunt said, quote, the law sets a high bar to kick cameras and the public out of the courtroom, and for good reason. The electronic media coverage allows the public to actually see and hear what transpires in the courtroom and have a fuller and more meaningful understanding of the proceedings, he said. During his first two virtual hearings, Robinson did not appear on camera. That, again, was by Jack Davis, freelance writer for the Western Journal, and it appeared on the Western Journal's website November 3rd, 2025. And my own opinion is, yes, they should have cameras in there. The public needs to know what goes on. We don't want to have a secret trials and hearings. When that begins, there's no telling what kind of unfairness can take place. But anyway, I'm not a lawyer, so I'll let it go at that. Next, but before I get there, let me just give a little plug for our website. You can find out all the different ways you can hear this program by going to our website, and sad to say, now that Elizabeth has passed away, it's just my website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. The wonderful lady, Angel, who keeps that website going, has been working with us for many years now, and we thank her very, very much. You can see that, as I say, you can see the different venues. Angel herself has a couple of very fine networks. And it may take me a minute to think of them. I should have written them down. But if you go to our website, you'll see them. DividedKingdomRadio.com. And you can see some essays. I really have to admit I haven't updated those in quite some time. But they were good essays, and they're still available on the website. And you can go to the archives if you miss a program. I checked not long ago. Everything seems to be running just fine with the archives. I don't detect anything wrong with it. If you find something wrong with something missing, let me know. As you probably know, I had COVID or something like COVID a few weeks back, and I had to do a couple repeats. But now I think things are up and running just fine. Now, I don't seem to be coughing like I was last week, thank God. And just when I said I wasn't going to have to cough through the program, what did I do but cough? But also, if you'd like to write to me, I'd love to hear from you. You don't have to send money, but if you can, that's always nice. We live by donations. The program is supported by people just like you that send in donations, large and small. And if you just want to, if you don't have the wherewithal to send a donation or don't care to, just send a little thoughtful letter tell me what you like about the program, what you don't like, what you think I should do different. I'm certainly open to any good suggestions. You can write to me, Lou, L-O-U, Cavalli, C-A-V, as in Victor, E-R-L-Y, and the address is Post Office Box 28 in Bethlehem, just like the Bethlehem in the Bible, spelled exactly the same way, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. That's Lou Cavalli, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And I'll do my best to repeat that later in the program if you didn't have a pencil or pen handy. So now, back to some very interesting articles. Nancy Pelosi is back in the news. 5 weeks on, she had, you know, died down with her big talk. But no, from Fox News, here's the headline. Conservatives erupt on social media over absurd, that little word is in quotes, absurd, Pelosi comment calling Trump worst thing on earth. Now, Ms. Pelosi is good at hyperbolic statements, exaggerated statements. This is by Andrew Mark Miller. As I said, Fox News published November 4th, so the very day I'm speaking, the very day I'm recording this. And the subtitle says, Nancy Pelosi blasts Trump as a, quote, vile creature, unquote, who is the worst person on earth. She says that in a CNN interview. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi sparked a flurry of controversy on social media Monday after referring to President Donald Trump as a, quote, vile, unquote, creature in an interview, prompting conservatives to accuse her of continuing to promote rhetoric that has led to political violence in recent years. Pelosi told CNN's Alex Michelson about Trump in an interview that quickly went viral on social media. She said that, as Pelosi said, he's just a vile creature, the worst thing on the face of the earth. And then I don't watch CNN, so I think from the spelling, this is probably a lady, but I'm not positive. Michelson followed up with a question, you think he's the worst thing on the face of the earth? And Pelosi said, I do. Yeah, I do. When Michelson asked why that was, Pelosi said, quote, because he's the president of the United States and he does not honor the Constitution of the United States. In fact, he's turned the Supreme Court into a rogue court. He's abolished the House of Representatives. He's chilled the press. He's scared people who are in the country illegally, unquote. The clip sparked controversy on social media from conservatives taking issue with Ms. Pelosi's rhetoric. One person wrote, this is written by NRCC, National War Room Director Ben Peterson. He posted the comment about Pelosi that is, quote, more dehumanizing Democrat language about Republicans. Someone else said, actually Piers Morgan, who appears on TV quite a bit, said, this is so absurd. Of course, he's a political commentator. He posted that on X, and Piers Morgan also said, worse than Hamas terrorists, Iranian mullahs, Putin, Jong-un, Democrat dinosaurs like Pelosi don't know anything but over-demonizing Trump. It's why they're polling so badly, unquote. And Fox News contributor and former Trump campaign operative Steve Cortez posted on X, quote, there cannot be a compromise with hateful leftist charlatans. It's an unbridgeable gap. We just have to win. Let's do it, unquote. And conservative commentator Steve Guest posted on X, quote, I see Nancy Pelosi has zero interest in toning down the rhetoric. and a Trump White House account posted on X said, sick. Very sad to see what little was left of her addled, demented mind evaporate as she becomes fully engulfed in hatred, unquote. When reached by Fox News Digital for comment, a spokesperson for Pelosi's office responded with a screenshot of a Newsweek article with the headline, Trump launches attack on Nancy Pelosi, disgusting degenerate, unquote. NBC News reported Monday that Pelosi, Democrat of California, is expected to, quote, make an announcement, unquote, about her political future after Election Day on Tuesday. As I say, that's the very day I'm recording this. With unnamed sources anticipating, the Democratic political giant is set to retire at the end of her term. But when he reached for comment on the report by Fox News Digital, a spokesperson for Pelosi made no mention of her stepping aside, nor about her long-term plans in general. Pelosi's spokesperson, Ian Krieger, said, quote, Speaker Pelosi is fully focused on her mission to win the yes on 50 special election in California on Tuesday. She urges all Democrats to join in that mission on the path to taking back the House for the Democrats. Yes on 50 refers to Democrats' campaign asking California voters to allow the state's legislature to temporarily sideline its nonpartisan redistricting commission in order to pass a new congressional map giving the left an advantage in the 2026 midterms. And again, that was by Andrew Mark Miller, and appeared on Fox News Tuesday, November 4th. Well, you know what? It's been a while since we talked much about Bill Gates, a couple weeks at least. Here's something from LifeSite News. It's quite interesting. Bill Gates switches stance on climate change, says it won't bring humanity's demise. A globalist billionaire criticized the doomsday view of climate change, which focuses, quote, too much on near-term emissions goals. This is by Andreas Walser, Wednesday, October 29th, 2025. Again, from the LifeSite News. Globalist billionaire Bill Gates has shifted his stance on climate change, stating that it will not bring, quote, humanity's demise, unquote. In his latest article on his blog, Gates notes the Microsoft founder, I guess that's the name of his blog, Gates Notes. So, in his latest article, he says the Microsoft founder called for a, quote, strategic pivot, unquote, away from solely limiting emissions and trying to reduce global warming, to focusing instead on, quote, things that have the greatest impact on human welfare, unquote, such as preventing disease and reducing poverty. He criticized the doomsday view of climate change, which focuses, quote, too much on near-term emissions goals. And the billionaire stated, although climate change will have serious consequences, especially for people in the poorest countries, it will not lead to humanity's demise. People will be able to live and thrive in most places on Earth for the foreseeable future. According to Gates, the upcoming COP30 climate summit in Brazil was, and this is his words, a chance to refocus on the metric that should count even more than emissions and temperature change, improving lives. And Gates went on to note, although climate change will hurt poor people more than anyone else, for the vast majority of them, it will not be the only or even the biggest threat to their lives and welfare. The biggest problems are poverty and disease, such as they always have been. Understanding this will let us focus on our limited resources on interventions that will have the greatest impact for the most vulnerable people. Gates now appears to be at odds with establishment climate alarmists like UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, who told The Guardian earlier this week that overshooting the 1.5 degrees Celsius climate goal in the coming years would have, and this is in quotes, devastating consequences, unquote, and that all countries must, quote, make a dramatic decrease of emissions as soon as possible, unquote. The Microsoft founder, Bill Gates, has been known as a climate alarmist and advocate for population control through abortion and contraception in order to curb the alleged climate-related threats for decades. In 2021, Gates published his best-selling book, How to Avoid a Climate Disaster, in which he stressed the need to reach zero, that is, net zero emissions of greenhouse gases. In recent years, he has made alarmist statements such as, quote, it's an all-out effort, like a world war, but it's us against greenhouse gases, unquote. Critics of Gates have noticed the sudden shift from Gates, who now sounds similar to known climate skeptic Bjorn Lomborg, who has been criticized and shunned by the climate alarmist establishment in science, media, and politics for decades. Commentators online have suggested that Gates has ulterior financial and ideological motives regarding his stance on climate change. Author Abigail Schreier wrote on X, it's almost as if the climate catastrophizing was always a ploy to drive young people left, to scare them, to prompt them to demand climate action, to dissuade them from starting families and settling into conservative lives, unquote. Health educator and COVID jab critic Sam Brocken wrote, the science is becoming clearer by the day on climate. Bill Gates finally admits it's less of a problem for humanity. Just as he also admitted, in the end, that the COVID vax was no solution. Once he made enough profit, he backtracked. BG's playbook, that is Bill Gates' playbook, unquote. And that was an article from Bill Gates from LifeSite News, dated Wednesday, October 29th. Well, now we move on to a very serious topic in Africa. You may have heard over the last few days, I keep hearing it on the radio from time to time, about Christians being murdered in the country of Nigeria. Again, this is also from LifeSite News. Was this one by Emily Mangiaracina, Monday, November 3rd, 2025. The headline, Trump addresses Christian persecution in Nigeria with warning to wipe out Islamists. And the subtitle says, rapper Nicki Minaj praised President Donald Trump for pledging to investigate the religious persecution in Nigeria, the most dangerous country for Christians in the world. Again, this is Monday, November 3rd. President Donald Trump announced that he is preparing the U.S. military to potentially, and this is in quotes, wipe out Islamic terrorists who are killing and kidnapping thousands of Christians each year. And this is what Trump wrote Saturday on Truth Social. This is his quote. If the Nigerian government continues to allow the killing of Christians, the USA will immediately stop all aid and assistance to Nigeria and may very well go into that now disgraced country, guns ablazing, to completely wipe out the Islamic terrorists who are committing these horrible atrocities. I am hereby instructing the Department of War to prepare for possible action. If we attack, it will be fast, vicious, and sweet, just like the terrorist thugs attack our cherished Christians, unquote. Asked Sunday whether he might use military force in the country, the most populous in Africa, Trump affirmed he was not ruling out the possibility. and these are Trump's words, could be, I mean, a lot of things. I envision a lot of things, he told journalists. They're killing the Christians and killing them in very large numbers. We're not going to allow that to happen. Trump raised the alarm on Friday about the mass slaughter of Christians in Nigeria, declaring it a country of particular concern, a designation reserved for governments who perpetrate or tolerate, quote, particularly severe violations of religious freedom, unquote, such as China, Pakistan, and North Korea. In his Friday Truth Social post, Trump announced he was tasking Congress with investigating the threat Christians face in Nigeria. And this is in quotes. I don't see where the quote ends. I guess it's the whole paragraph is one quote. The United States cannot stand by while such atrocities are happening in Nigeria and numerous other countries. We stand ready, willing, and able to save our great Christian population around the world. Best-selling rapper Nicki Minaj praised the message from Trump on Saturday, decrying religious persecution. Reading this, and this is her quote, reading this made me feel a deep sense of gratitude, Minaj posted to X. She went on, we live in a country where we can freely worship God. No group should ever be persecuted for practicing their religion. And the rapper added, numerous countries all around the world are being affected by this horror, and it's dangerous to pretend we don't notice, she continued. Thank you to the president and his team for taking this seriously, the rapper added. God bless every persecuted Christian. Let's remember to lift them up in prayer, unquote. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Mike Waltz, thanked Minaj, who has a massive following, for speaking out in support of persecuted Christians, and invited her to the U.S. Embassy in New York to discuss the matter, an invitation she said she would be honored to accept. A 2025 Global Christian Relief Red List report has found that Nigeria is the most dangerous place for Christians in the entire world. The report detailed how most of the killings in Nigeria occurred in the northern states governed by Islamic Sharia law, where Christians, quote, often live in remote villages in semi-arid landscapes, making them especially vulnerable to attacks, unquote. The ongoing violence against Christians in the country has been so frequent that it has been denounced by international observers as a genocide, including by secular liberal Bill Mayer. And let's see, we have a quote here. This is a quote from Bill Mayer. This is so much more of a genocide attempt than what is going on in Gaza. They are literally attempting to wipe out the Christian population of an entire country. And Bill Mayer said that recently while talking with GOP Congresswoman Nancy Mace. Violence against Christians in Nigeria intensified after 1999 when 12 northern states adopted Sharia law. The rise of the terrorist group Boko Haram in 2009 also intensified Christian persecution. The group famously kidnapped hundreds of schoolgirls in 2014. 87 of them are still listed as missing. From 2009 to 2022, over 50,000 Christians have been killed in the country, an Open Doors report found, and the violence has since escalated. A 2024 report found that more than 8,000 Nigerian Christians were killed, and thousands more were abducted in 2023, including dozens of priests, making it the bloodiest year on record for Islamic attacks against Christians in the country. And there were 3,100 Christians killed and 2,830 kidnapped in Nigeria in 2024, far more than other countries in the same year, according to the latest Open Doors World Watch list. Attacks continue to spread southward from the Muslim majority north, displaced displacing families, destroying homes, and burning churches and schools. Andrew Hoffman, Executive Director of the Observatory on Intolerance and Discrimination Against Christians in Europe, told LifeSite News contributor Jonathan Van Maren that the Nigerian government's inaction enables the epidemic of violence. A key factor in this ongoing crisis is impunity, Hoffman told Van Maren. And the quote continues, government and security services frequently fail to respond. Although President Bola Tinubu's 2023 election raised hopes for stronger protection, meaningful change has not materialized. Security forces remain under-resourced, prosecutions are rare, and many local authorities deny a religious motive, making justice elusive, unquote. Recent attacks in the country have seen the abduction and even murder of Catholic priests and seminarians. In a July press release, the Diocese of Auchi, A-U-C-H-I, in Edo State, reported that several gunmen attacked the Immaculate Conception Minor Seminary, killing one security guard and kidnapping three seminarians. And that is pretty much it for that article. So if you're concerned as I am, we need to pray about that, that God will thwart these vicious terrorists. This is, again, from LifeSite News by Emily and Gia Rafina, November 3rd, 2025. Now, the Nigerian president denies the existence of a Christian genocide. We have a little short article from the Gateway Pundit about that. It also appeared November 3rd by Ben Q, K-E-W. And I'm just going to read a few of the highlights. It's a short article. The Nigerian government has pushed back on President Trump's words, denied the persecution of Christians has even taken place. Let's see. We're going to Daniel Bwala, B-W-A-L-A, a spokesman for Nigerian President Bola Tinubu, quote, the military threat from Donald Trump is based on misleading reports and appears to be part of Trump's style of going forceful in order to force a sit-down and have a conversation, unquote. And let's see if there's anything else that's different from the first article. Tinubu has also rejected the designation that would be a terrorist and genocide, promised to work with the U.S. government and foreign partners to, quote, deepen cooperation on protection of communities of all faiths. And it mentions that Nigeria, which is home to some 220 million people, is almost evenly divided between Muslims in the north and Christians who are concentrated in the south and central regions. In recent years, Islamist groups such as Boko Haram and Islamic State West, or West Africa Province, have intensified their campaign of violence against Christians, carrying out church burnings, abductions, and large-scale massacres. It says, should Trump ultimately decline to use military force, there are many other options he can pursue. Among them would be sanctions against the Nigerian government and the cutting off of all foreign and military aid until the problem is effectively addressed. And it mentions that the author of this article, Ben Q, is a writer and editor, originally from the United Kingdom. He moved to the U.S. to cover Congress for Breitbart News, and has since gone on to editorial roles at a number of publications. That was from the Gateway Pundit by Ben Q, November 3rd. All right, now we're going to switch over to a different topic, one that doesn't sound as serious, but the implications could be pretty serious. This was from Zero Hedge, Monday, November 3rd. Danish cattle dropping like flies after government mandates methane enzyme inhibitor. Now, make a couple of comments here. First of all, as you'll hear, they're feeding the cattle this enzyme inhibitor. And, of course, the ones who make this drug say, oh, it's safe. It's safe and effective. Where have we heard that before? But the farmers say otherwise. And if this should become common, think about the beef you eat and what might be the consequences. Well, let me get into the article. Again, this is Monday, November 3rd, originally published via Armageddon Prose. I guess that's a publication. Danish biotech firm DMS recently developed a product called Bovaer. I guess that's how you say it. B-O-V-A-E-R, which is also approved for use in the United States, incidentally. And it's designed to inhibit the enzyme that produces methane as a byproduct of the vegetation that cows consume. The theory being that preventing their production of methane will be beneficial to combating the scourge of, guess what, climate change. And this is what the producer of this enzyme says, the company. This is their statement. Microbes in the cow's rumen digest food, producing hydrogen and carbon dioxide. Methanogenic microbes utilize these two gases and convert them into methane by a series of enzyme reactions. Now, it's been a long time. This is Lou speaking. Been a long time since I had chemistry in high school. But it seems to me methane is a very simple chemical. An atom of carbon with three, can't remember if it's three or four atoms of hydrogen bound up with it in the molecule. And supposedly, the methane is very bad for climate change. I forget why. I guess it causes the earth to heat up, traps more sunlight to create heat, I guess. Well, let me read on. Bovaer, trademark, is a feed supplement that temporarily inactivates one of these enzymes, and this results in lower methane production. Just a 1/4 of a teaspoon per day is added to the cow's feed, and it takes effect in as little as 30 minutes. Afterwards, Bovaer, that's the product, is broken down into components already naturally present in the rumen. The rumen, I believe, is out of the digestive tract of the cow. Naturally metabolized by the cow, Bovaer consistently reduces methane emissions and is safe for the cow and is not transferred into milk or meat. That's what they say. Those, of course, are my words. Bovaer is authorized and available for sale in over 65 countries, including the EU, UK, Australia, Brazil, Canada, Japan, and the US. Subsequently, now, okay, that is where that little statement from the company that makes this stuff ended. So now we're back to the author of the article. Subsequently, in October, the Danish authorities saw fit to mandate the medication of all cattle in the country with Bovaer to reportedly catastrophic effects, as reported by Danish farmers. Via Nyheder, I guess that's the name of the publication, translated from Danish, and the author says all apologies for the stilted translation. Here are the words. More dairy cows are not doing well and are producing less milk. And in some cases, they are collapsing. A controversial additive called Bovaer, which is to be mixed into the cow's feed, is suspected of being the cause of the problems. Since October 1st, farmers have started mixing the legally required additive into the cow's feed. The aim is to reduce the cow's emissions of the greenhouse gas methane, and Bovaer has previously been tested thoroughly over several years. Yet, something seems to have gone wrong in the rollout. And according to my Danish is not too good. I guess it's pronounced Jørgen Poulsen, chairman of the National Association of Danish Milk Producers. Speaking to TV2, he said, quote, "We have so many people calling us who are unhappy about what is happening in their herds," unquote. The cow's discomfort has led to lower milk yield. Some of the collapsed animals have been treated and have survived, while others have had to be euthanized. In hijacking the cow's digestive system, which evolved over millions of years to optimally digest roughage, that sounds dystopian and potentially lethal for food production. But don't worry. DSM on its website guarantees that it's... Oh, and hear the words. This is Lou speaking now. Hear the words we've heard before. This company says this stuff is proven safe and effective. The magic words that automatically alleviate any lingering discomfiture among the peasant class. And again, now we're back to the author of the article. So when scores of cows keel over in their fields or barns, as is currently reported in Progress, it definitely wasn't the synthetic methane enzyme inhibitor that's being used to further the climate change agenda of centralized control over the food supply and the means of production thereof. Those cows probably had COVID or something. Some mRNA shots ought to just fix them right up. And the author concludes with these words. Respect the science. Eat the bugs. Shut your dirty carbon spewing mouth and take your booster. Bigot? Thank you for your attention to this matter. Sincerely, your liberal and loving Danish government. That was by Benjamin Barty, author of Broken English Teacher, Notes from Exile. It says in Howard that's available in paperback. And he's an independent, Bangkok-based American journalist with opposable thumbs. A little humor there. That appeared in Zero Hedge, November 3rd. Danish cattle dropping like flies. And now another very serious matter. We had a little humor in that one. This is a matter of great concern. And I wonder. Well, let me read it. Now, this appeared in the Washington Times. The title says, "Not Your Parents' Nuclear. X-Energy's Meltdown-Proof Reactors Poised to Power More of the U.S. Grid." This was, again, from the Washington Times by Susan Ferriccio, Friday, October 3rd, 2025. Nuclear power is about to grow significantly in the U.S., led by a handful of companies that have redesigned reactors to be smaller, safer, and quicker to build. X Energy, headquartered in the Washington suburb of Rockville, Maryland, plans to have the first of its kind small modular reactor up and running on the Texas Gulf Coast early next decade. And these are the words of the CEO of that company, by the name of Clay Sell. "We expect to get the construction permit in the fourth quarter of 2026, which puts us in position to start construction in the first half of 2027, unquote. Again, that was from the company X Energy, their CEO, has told to the Washington Times. "It will begin a major revival of nuclear power's role in the nation's power grid, a share that is largely stalled at about 19% after older plants were shuttered and new construction wound down because of safety concerns in the 1980s. Currently, 93 nuclear reactors are operating and 54 power plants across the United States. They are all, on average, about four decades old." Now, let me interject here. This is Lou speaking now. As I read this article a little while ago, the thing that struck me is it doesn't say much about what these new reactors are like. How are they different from the old ones? They call them modular reactors. What does that mean? I don't know. They say they're smaller. Okay. They say they're meltdown proof. Now, what is a meltdown? A meltdown is where the nuclear reaction gets out of control. You have a situation in ordinary reactors that are properly built where the chain reaction doesn't go wild and get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. They call it a chain reaction because first you've got a couple of the atoms colliding on subatomic particles, as the case may be. They, in turn, give off more of the same, which creates a bigger reaction, and bigger and bigger and bigger. And under the right circumstances, which are very specialized, you can have an atomic bomb. Now, of course, you don't have a bomb when you have a nuclear reactor, but you can have a situation where the chain reaction gets out of control if there aren't safeguards. And there have been situations where exactly that happened, in spite of the fact that it shouldn't have. And that's why the public got pretty well scared, and there haven't been any large building of new nuclear power plants in the recent past. But let's go on with this and see what they say. X-Energy plans to jumpstart construction of brand new reactors in the next few years. Its reactors don't copy the technology and design of older models, such as Pennsylvania's Three Mile Island, where an accident caused a partial meltdown in 1979. Now, if any of you are alive, that is to say, were alive at that time, that are now listening, you know what that was. That was where the reaction got out of control. Fortunately, it did not lead to a complete meltdown, which means basically that the extreme heat of the reactor melts right down into the earth until it hits the water table and causes a steam explosion. And you've got radioactive matter spewing out all over the place and contaminating the air. Now, luckily, that did not happen. Or I say luckily, fortunately, maybe a better word, the skill of the workers was able to bring the thing under control. But that was only a short distance down the Susquehanna River from the state capital at Harrisburg. You can imagine what would have happened if that had gone totally out of control. And as they say, this Three Mile Island mishap stirred a public backlash against nuclear power that has continued for decades. Now, Mr. Sell, and I believe he was the CEO, yes, Clay Sell, he says, our reactor is meltdown proof. It's several orders of magnitude safer than the existing technologies that are deployed around the world, unquote. And I see our time is somewhat limited, so let me skip down a little bit. A Gallup poll in April, I assume that was 2025, found that a new record number of Americans, 61%, favor nuclear energy. And that's up from a 44% in a Gallup poll in 2016. And Mr. Sell, the CEO, says, I spend a lot of time engaging communities in which we operate. There's a generational shift. There are no emissions. It's on 24/7. It's a small plant in an industrial area, produces lots of power, all the waste is controlled. What's not to like about it? That's what the new generation is saying, and it's reflected in public opinion. And in May, President Trump announced plans for a nuclear renaissance that called for quadrupling the nation's power output by 2050, including 300 gigawatts of net new capacity. 1 gigawatt of power can provide electricity to about 750,000 homes. And again, let me skip down in the interest of time. so I have not seen anything about the technology of these reactors. More about the company, and Amazon is investing $500 million in reactors, which will power its data centers, web services, and electric vehicle fleet. And it says the small reactors use technology that cuts waste, ensures greater safety, lowers costs, and speeds construction compared with nuclear power plants of the past. Let's see. Just looking down through here. Still nothing I can see about how they're built or how they work, how they're different. Environmental groups, including Greenpeace and the Sierra Club, remain staunchly opposed to nuclear power. They claim it's unsafe, expensive, difficult to build with solar, wind, and compared with solar, wind, and other renewables, because there were criticisms of those as well, particularly the wind. The Sierra Club cites the nuclear power plant meltdowns at Three Mile Island, which was a partial meltdown, Chernobyl in Russia or Ukraine in 1986, and Fukushima, Japan in 2011, as evidence that, quote, none of the fundamental problems with nuclear power have ever been addressed, unquote. And of course, Fukushima in Japan, this is Lou speaking, was largely destroyed by a tidal wave and earthquake. Earthquake generated the tidal wave and caused the so-called control rods to not work, which allows the nuclear reaction to get out of control. Well, our time is up. Our music is on. Write to me if you can. Lou Cavalli, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Thank you so much for listening, and tune in again next week to the Divided Kingdom. Good night.